Well, guys, the Monday Night Showdown didn't really turn into be much of a showdown. One team blinked.
No, if that was the most important game in franchise history, they're very disappointed down there these days because they just didn't show up. And I was really disappointed because I expected one of those, you know, marquee games, instant classic. And it just from the very get-go never came to fruition.
Fred, nothing to be disappointed about on my end. I don't know what he's talking about.
I like good football.
No,
I know another team.
You know, I'm teasing.
That was borderline Arizona Cardinals from a few years ago where they weren't ready to play.
You know, it was.
But they have an illegal formation on their very first snap. That's a good start.
Yeah, there wasn't even snow on the ground.
Right.
Well, you couldn't have asked for better conditions for a dome team from the South. It had nothing to do with being in December here. They had everything the way they wanted to. And like Andy said, they just didn't show up. But, you know, give the Patriots a lot of credit for that because not only the offense, which we're, you know, Tom Brady's been in a lot of these games. We knew he would be ready to play.
Pretty good player now.
We knew they would move the ball and score points.
MVP?
But the defense. Yes. The defense, when the offense got the quick 21 points and then sort of sputtered for a while, the defense didn't let it become a game.
Yeah, that's the thing that impressed me most because we've seen in the past, Patriots get that lead. Then for whatever reason, the other defense settles down or the Patriots kind of, you know, dial it back a little, that team starts to climb back in. It did not happen Monday night.
This defense is building. You know, everybody likes to say turn a corner, and I'm hesitant to kind of go with that phrasing.
You never know when there's a Mack truck there when you're on that corner.
But this is a game where I think they're showing, you know, this isn't the Dolphins. It wasn't a rookie quarterback. There weren't a lot of reasons to say why the Texans didn't live up to their resume other than the Patriots got the job done, made plays, had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Even Gerard Mayo said that, you know, we're told to ignore the noise, but you hear it. You hear it walking down the street, and it motivated them. And they had a little chip there, and they took it to the Texans.
Yeah, and that was the key because you wanted to make sure you didn't let Arian Foster get off to a good start. And early on, he had the play that Andy talked about. He had about a 15-yard run that got called back. Then he had a 15-yard run for a first down. You were like, maybe they do have a little something with the stretch play going. But from that point on, really, he was a non-factor in the running game, despite a lot of, I thought, stubbornness on the part of Gary Kubiak to continue to try to establish the run. I thought too many times on second and long, he was running Foster to set up, you know, second and 12, and he'd set up third and 5 or third and 7.
Don't make it sound so analytical. You were ranting and raving
those
in the press box about
what an
idiot Gary Kubiak was.
I was, and I stand by it. You know, we're looking at it a couple of days later. It's still just as stupid as it was Monday night. I don't understand why on second and long against one of the worst rated pass defenses, you're pounding Arian Foster between the tackles. Vince Wilfork's not going to let you do that, and he didn't let you do it
on
Monday.
Why do teams make that mistake?
I don't know. And Ian's right. I'm a little bit more rational about it on Thursdays than I am when the game's happening, but I don't understand how stupid some of these coaches can be.
Moving over to the Patriots offense, you know, kind of worried with the Texans D, no Rob Gronkowski, you know, the wide receiver situation a little bit banged up with Edelman out now on IR. We all thought that Brandon Lloyd had to step up.
And he did. No question. And we've been critical of him. And, you know, I think he probably has heard some of that. You know, getting back to Mayo saying, you ignore the noise, but you hear it. Lloyd probably has heard some of, you know, sees some of the tweets of people talking about how he avoids contact and goes down. And they finally hit that big play. And boy, did they sucker that safety.
Oh.
He bought on the play action fake as hard as you could possibly bite. Lloyd just goes right by him. And then we've seen that, though, this year where he's been open deep or Gronk was open deep and Brady missed him. This time, perfect throw from Brady.
You couldn't miss him this time.
Well, you know, you say that,
was all but impossible.
It happens. It happens sometimes, but they didn't allow that to happen. And that wasn't his only play, though. You know, before that, he had a first down on a 14-yarder on the sideline, made some other plays. I thought, you know, if they can do that against a good defense like the Texans are supposed to be or like the Niners coming this week, that really helps out Hernandez and Welker and the rest of the offense kind of diversify.
And they really needed that because Wes Welker only had 3 catches out of 9 targets. I don't know what was up with him.
Strange game for him.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
They needed Lloyd to make those catches for sure.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting listening to Tom talk about Lloyd after the game. You know, maybe I think Tom was a little bit disappointed in himself and sort of getting away from Lloyd because it seemed like he went out of his way to say he hadn't lost any faith and, you know, he had heard the stuff. And Andy's talking about Gerard Mayo talking about hearing he had heard the criticisms of Lloyd. And I think he wanted to make sure that he sort of nipped that in the bud and said, I haven't lost any faith in him, and I'm going to go to him. He made some big plays. He even pointed out a play that Lloyd made that didn't count on an offensive pass interference on Aaron Hernandez, that Lloyd made a good play coming across the middle. He's not afraid of contact. Well, nothing to see here.
I think there's a little bit of Tom Brady kind of managing his receivers
there, much like
he did in the past with some other players.
You're right. Yeah. He's experienced. Yeah. He did it with Moss. He did it with Ocho, even though it didn't really pan out. Yeah. I think he knows that those guys are a little bit of a different breed, and he needs to do that.
It's almost like a coach. You know, a coach has to treat players differently. Some guys you can yell at, some guys you have to sort of coddle. Maybe Brandon Lloyd's one of those guys that Tom's learning how to handle, and, you know, here we are 12 games in, and he's figuring it out.
So with the Patriots winning on Monday and Baltimore losing on Sunday, the Patriots control their fate for a bye.
Correct.
But what about the talk about, okay, there's no doubt now that the Patriots are the best team in the AFC, if not the NFL. You know, should we make a lot about that, or should we just, you know, put that on the back burner for now?
I think you can certainly make an argument. You'll go a long way in that direction, in my opinion, if you continue this impressive two-game homestand. Right. You know, I don't need you to blow out the Texans. I mean, the 49ers like yeah. you did the Texans, but this is another impressive. I mean, you could have gone AFC title preview to Super Bowl preview. If you go through that, okay, I'm ready to anoint you the odds-on favorite.
I don't have to wait. I'm going to anoint them the AFC favorite anyway. What happens in the Super Bowl with whoever comes out of the NFC,
right.
We'll wait and figure it out. We'll look at that matchup. But for the reasons Andy said, I believe right now they are the team to beat in the AFC.
Okay, well, you know what I think. I've always thought it.
They could be 1-15 and you'd have them as the team to beat.
You think they beat Baltimore.
They did.
There are some things we come to expect with Bill Belichick coach teams, and one of those is that the defense is going to improve as the season's gone on, and we've seen that this season. I think one thing that's really stuck out to me is the aggressiveness the team has shown the last couple of weeks. Some of that might be school board related. The Patriots have had some big leads, and that offers more chances to blitz. But I think Gerard Mayo in particular has become very good at this delayed blitz, and I think it's really given quarterbacks problems. It's going to be interesting to see if they can continue that down the stretch and into the playoffs when the quarterbacks are a little bit better. But right now, I love the aggressiveness Bill Belichick is showing on defense. One of the things recently that has been a little bit leaky has been run defense, but that wasn't the case Monday night. One reason for that, I think, was Brandon Dedrick. He's sort of taken the place of Kyle Love next to Vince Wilfork, and I think that shored things up a little bit. I think Kyle Love dealing with some physical problems. I thought he played really well earlier in the year. I think he's been slumping lately. Dedrick has stepped right in, and he's really become a force. I don't want to say he's a big, you know, Warren Sapp-type playmaker on the inside, but I do think he's shown some penetration. He gets after the quarterback a little bit. He collapses the pocket, and he's made some tackles for losses. Brandon Dedrick, sort of an under-the-radar type guy. He's playing very well on defense. I'm going to move over to offense for a second here. And one thing that's been very impressive, I think, we know this team puts up a lot of points and they throw the ball as well as anybody, but running the football, particularly down the stretch, I think has been impressive. Stephen Ridley was bottled up for most of the game Monday night, but just like against Miami a week earlier, he did all his damage in the fourth quarter. And I think that's the kind of drive, quite frankly, this team has been lacking over the last couple of years. The ability to move the clock, move the chains, I think that's how winning teams play. Stephen Ridley running his best when it counts the most.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Well, I don't get out too much. I go to Patriot Place, Davio's, places like that.
Good answer.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Images of the Week. It was one big, great image from Monday night. This one is the front seven standing over Arian Foster. I thought they had a great game. In particular, Dante Hightower, I thought he needed to step up, and he certainly did. And finally, what's the problem?
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
All right, I'm here with Dan Connolly, right guard of the New England Patriots. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Thanks for doing this. Now, I say right guard, but you pretty much play every position. Do you like having that one position that you count on every week, or did you like it before when you're kind of playing everything?
I don't know if I have a preference. I mean, I guess I do like being just in one spot, but I need to be prepared to play center or to play left guard if you know, anybody would get injured.
Right.
So always prepared.
And this year, there's been so many injuries, especially in the interior there. How have you guys internally coped with that, and what do you do week to week to kind of keep each other up when you're either know you're going to be in the game or when you're not? How does that work internally?
We just do a great job of preparing for each position and just knowing that if anybody goes down, the next guy's got to step up and fulfill the job just like the guy before him. And, you know, we work different combinations in practice, and we just prepare ourselves really well.
So you got a game coming up with the 49ers. Last week it was, you know, the same thing. They had a good outside, you know, pressure package. Same thing coming up this week. How does that affect the guard play when you know that they've got these guys on the edges that can create so much pressure?
They've got four good guys across the board. You know, it's not just the two outside guys. The guys inside are just as good. So I think the guards got just as big a challenge as the tackles do.
Your brother, big chef working in New York now. It's a holiday season. If you had to give a suggestion to someone to go have a big holiday dinner in Boston, what's your favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant in Boston? Well, I don't get out too much. I go to Patriot Place, Davio's, places like that.
Good answer.
Two weeks after struggling a bit with Cameron Wake, one week after dispatching J.J. Watt, another huge challenge for the Patriots offensive line. This week, it's a dynamic duo from San Francisco, the Smith brothers, not really brothers, Alden, 19 and a half sacks as an outside linebacker. Justin, a powerful defensive lineman. He only has 3 sacks, but he does a lot of dirty work that allows Alden to succeed. If you want to look at a comparison, this is probably the defensive version of what Moss and Welker were in 2007. Opponents had to deal with Moss going deep, Welker underneath. This is the same type of thing. Justin Smith is the power. He moves guys. Alden Smith comes through the crease, gets to the quarterback as well as anyone in the NFL. Big week for Logan Mankins and Nate Solder. Patriots have faced a number of young athletic quarterbacks this year. Another one on the horizon, Colin Kaepernick, now starting for San Francisco. Everyone knows the unseated Alex Smith is a dynamic player. He can run a little bit like Cam Newton. 2 50-yard runs, one in each of the last 2 weeks, including a touchdown. Has a stronger arm than Alex Smith. They hope he can get the ball down the field more, although he hasn't done a ton of that. Patriots pass rushers need to be disciplined. That means Chandler Jones, as he knocks the rust off from missing time. Controlled pass rush, keep Kaepernick in the pocket and make you beat him with his arms, not his legs that can go 50 yards on any given play. Finally, in this day and age of high-powered passing attacks and finesse football, another power week for the Patriots to deal with. Texans were a run-first play defense team. 49ers do the same thing, but probably even better than Houston. The defense for San Francisco may be the most physical in the game, maybe the most physical the Patriots have seen in quite some time. They're better than the Seattle unit that gave the Patriots problems earlier this year. And on offense, the 49ers want to run Frank Gore each and every play. Well over 4 yards a carry, they established the run to let Kaepernick do damage off of that. Patriots on a short week after getting banged around a little bit by the Texans need to step up their game in terms of physicality.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
He is dominant rather than good, and there is a difference, and I would put the same with Mayo. He's always been a good player. He's becoming a great player.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
Tragedy struck the Dallas Cowboys last weekend when a car driven by Josh Brent killed Jerry Brown, and according to reports, alcohol was involved. You know, so that's tragic just on that level. But what makes it even more tragic, especially for these NFL players, is it simply doesn't have to happen. They have all the tools available to them to not have to drive when they go out at night. As a matter of fact, the Dallas Cowboys have a program in place. For $90 an hour, they can get a car service. It's completely confidential. No one has to know what they're doing it for, and they can have that for the night. The NFLPA has a service for all NFL players that's free. May not be strictly confidential, but hey, isn't that better than getting into a car and getting into an accident like that? These guys have to be, I don't know what the league needs to do. I don't know what the Cowboys and other teams need to do. The Cowboys are even thinking about having breathalyzer in the car so that they can't even start the car unless they pass that test. Something has to be done because it's just senseless.
So Paul Tagliabue decided to rescind the suspensions for all the New Orleans Saints players. And while I think that's a good thing, if I'm New Orleans right now, I'm saying, thanks a lot, Paul. How did this get to this point? How did these guys have to have all of these things hanging over them all this way into the season? It really didn't make any sense to me from the start to be suspending players for things that happened on the field of play. They're physical, aggressive mistakes. I don't think the bounty situation was something that the NFL should aspire to, but I also don't think they deserve to lose a season over it, and that's exactly what happened. Sean Payton didn't coach, and the Saints didn't stand a chance.
While most NFL teams are hitting their stride right now, at least the good ones, the Patriots, the Broncos, teams like that, Baltimore Ravens fired their offensive coordinator Cam Cameron last week. Just wasn't working out with Joe Flacco. Interesting turn in his career for Cameron, who was once a rising genius among offensive minds when he had San Diego as one of the best offenses in football. Then he lands a job as the head coach with the Dolphins in 2007, falls on his face, but you figure, okay, this guy is just a coordinator, goes to the Ravens, has Ray Rice, has Joe Flacco. He's going to create something special there. It never came to fruition. Flacco hasn't evolved. And Cam Cameron, we should have seen this coming, because when you were the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, you had a getting-to-know questionnaire in which you said the most overrated aspect in the game of football was the offensive play call. Interesting answer for a guy who makes millions of dollars to make the offensive play call. Cam Cameron, we should have known you were a fraud.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
The Patriots defense has come on of late. What's been the biggest reason for that improvement?
We've heard a million different reasons thrown out there for the change in the Patriots defense. It's, you know, the competition, rookie quarterbacks, journeyman quarterbacks. It's Aqib Talib. It's all the... I think it's simple. I think it's their three captains, their core defensive players, playing better. I think Vince Wilfork up front has started to dominate games like he can. I think Jerod Mayo has been playing like Ray Lewis. And I think since Devin McCourty has moved to safety, he's become an impact playmaker that's stabilized the secondary. So I think you look at your best players, they're playing better. Your whole unit is playing better.
I agree with that, which is going to make this for a boring argument.
No, I'll yell at you still.
You're still going to be yelling at me in a second. I'm going to put in my defensive coordinator hat, and I'm going to step back to maybe a couple of months ago in one of these very point counterpoints when we started throwing it back and forth. And I wanted to get more aggressive. And I think that that's what they've done. Now, maybe there might be, as you said, there might be different reasons for that. There might be scoreboard related, might be quarterback related, like you alluded to. But I don't think there's any question that Jerod Mayo, you talked about him being a captain. Well, he's getting after the quarterback mm-hmm. a little bit. I love these delayed blitzes they're using. I think that you've seen some even secondary blitzes, corners with Kyle Arrington, some safety stuff. Patrick Chung came in the game late Monday night, and he started coming off the edge a little bit. I think that the aggressiveness has been the biggest change in what they've done defensively, and it's working.
It's all within reason. It's all, you know, relative to what they've been last year and the early part of this year. They were a terrible defense. Now they're a competitive defense. I still don't know that they've turned the corner to where you say they're going to win football games in the postseason because of solely their defense. This is still an offensive-led team. But I just think you look at the core players, and I'm not sure they ever synced up of late over the last, you know, there'd be stretches where Wilfork would dominate. Then there'd be stretches where you'd say, okay, Mayo's turning the corner as a playmaker. There were stretches, obviously, a couple of years ago where McCourty was a big playmaker. Then he had his struggles. In my opinion, this is the first time that you've had your three guys, and there's no question they're the guys. You know, Ninkovich is a nice player, and Kyle Love is, you know, all these guys are nice players, but they have a three-man core. And it's very simple that they have finally come together and played well at the same time. And I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden we're talking about putting four quarters together and winning games on defense. And, you know, the offense can have a hiccup game and they still win.
And we know that Belichick's defense always get better. But you know what? It might be a weird thing, a blessing in disguise. Chandler Jones gets hurt. And maybe Belichick sits there and says, you know what? I can't rely on Ninkovich and Jones just getting there because I'm not going to get there often enough. Coincide that with Jermaine Cunningham's suspension, and they needed to find other ways to get after the quarterback. Well, I think some of those other ways have been what I've been talking about. And you say it's just, you know, better play from the core captains. I say it's been a combination of the aggressiveness and the big leads. I don't want to throw away the leads.
Well,
like that
can't.
Doesn't have anything
That's
to do
the
with
core
it.
Of this team.
It's a little bit easier to play when you have a big lead. And lately, you know, the first 8-9 weeks of the season, it was a nail biter every week. The last 3 or 4 weeks, not so much.
Now we're getting back to 2007 when the defense wasn't great.
Absolutely.
But they took advantage of the situation in the game that the offense provided. And I'll get back to one thing. You talk about, okay, they're being more aggressive and they got to do some things with Cunningham and Jones out and all that. Well, you know how those things work? They work when there's being double-teamed on Vince Wilfork. They work when Jerod Mayo is making plays. And instead of the other team just saying, he never gets there, they're more accounting for him.
But that's
nothing
new.
They work when they, well, I think it's
Vince Wilfork is nothing new getting double teamed.
This year, he has been double teamed more of late than he had early in the year because he's playing better. He is dominant rather than good, and there is a difference, and I would put the same with Mayo. He's always been a good player. He's becoming a great player. He's becoming a true all-pro player, and that's the difference on this team.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, as always, we wrap up the show by taking your questions. But first, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Fred, this week, things are getting bunched up in the top five. We now have a four-way tie at number two. That includes the Patriots.
The Patriots are number one?
Texans stayed at, well, you know, they do have more losses than the Texans. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, so it's a win-based one.
You know, you like those power rankings that are reactionary, that people just vote on, and whatever the latest game is, they react to it.
I like the ranking that says,
this is an index
is
for the entire
season. They're number one.
This is an index for the entire season. And based on the entire season, the Texans are the number one seed in the AFC right now and have earned the right to play their games at home.
All right.
But the Patriots are tied with the Falcons, Niners, and Broncos for number two. Very bunched up, sort of indicative of the year we had. You know, there's a lot of good teams, no one distancing themselves.
Okay. And how far away are they from?
They are 1.5 index points away.
And what does that mean in real world?
I can't tell you. It's proprietary.
All right, good. All right, well, let's get to your questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. Ron Curtin writes in, Vince Wilfork is in his ninth season and is deserving of NFL Defensive Player of the Year, isn't he?
No, he isn't. I mean, if anybody as a defensive player is in that mold, it's J.J. Watt. He was on the field with Wilfork. Wilfork is a great player, but not even he does the things that Watt has done this year in terms of overwhelm, you know, team's leading tackler, top of the league, near the top of the league in sacks, forced fumbles. You know, we saw the hustle down the field. Now, Wilfork is a great player, having a great season, don't get me wrong, and I thought we saw another game where he can bat balls. You know, as Gerard Mayo said, he had his own little J.J. Watt swat there early in the game, and Wilfork is great, but, you know, when you're talking about defensive player of the year, first of all, you usually have to have sacks. And I think it's hard for a defensive tackle to put up the kind of numbers. I mean, it's been done. Cortez Kennedy was a defensive player of the year. But you're talking about a Hall of Fame caliber player. Wilfork, not quite there.
All right. Well, thanks for your questions this week. As always, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.